Looking at the Sermon on the Mount again tonight, and after my antics this morning, I will do my best to stay on script, excited for what God has for us. The Sermon on the Mount, King Jesus, is teaching us all about what, church? He's teaching us about true righteousness. All right, that was a warm-up. Now we're ready, all right? So if you're here in the sanctuary tonight, I want you to shout it. If you're at home tonight, I want you to shout it. If you're prone to do so, type it in the chat, because we got to know what we're talking about, right? And so King Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is teaching us all about what? About true righteousness. And true righteousness, which, by the way, only comes from Him and through His blood. King Jesus is teaching us that once received, will yield a life that is pleasing to God, that is fulfilling to us, and that will radically change our world. Now, what we're understanding as we go through this is we don't get God's product without God's process. And last week, King Jesus, he brought us and he brought his teaching to a point of decision, really, in the text, where he admonished us, if you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, to simply just choose. To choose what you're going to love and live after. Because, remember, according to verse number 19 and 20, we're either going to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. You've got to decide, just choose what you're going to love and treasure in this life. He admonished us to make a decision. To just choose what we're going to look to, what we're going to focus on. You'll remember in verses 22 and 23, he reminded us that our eye, our focus needs to be single. It needs to be undivided in how we see and perceive this life. And just like a pair of glasses will determine how we understand light, that our worldview, our filter, our focus spiritually will determine how we understand life. And so King Jesus admonishes us, just choose how you're going to look on things. And he admonished us again in verse 25 to just choose who your Lord's going to be. You're going to serve somebody, and you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, cling to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and the God of this world. You can't do it. And so King Jesus admonishes us, just choose. Just choose. Christian, just choose what you're going to love, how you're going to look at things, who you're going to serve. Just choose. Now, that sounds great, right? I'm going to choose the Lord. I'm going to choose to look at things His way and to love His eternal kingdom. Boy, that gets you fired up, ready to go. But what we find, isn't it, that sometimes when we walk out of the church doors and real life kind of gets in the way, that what seemed so simple in one moment seemed a whole lot harder indeed. What seemed so simple in our intentions got a little more difficult when we tried to put it into action. And so I believe King Jesus understands the struggle that we face. And so coming alongside his instruction to just choose who you're going to love and just choose how you're going to look on things and just choose who's going to be your Lord, he also brings alongside our passage for tonight to help us to solidify our decision. King Jesus invites us to do something that seems kind of strange at the outset. He invites us to consider the lilies. Now, that's kind of the boring title I settled on. I had a couple other working titles like, you're better than a bird. I thought that was good. Or King Jesus and his prescription for anxiety. That's one you put on so people click on it on the internet, right? But we settled on, consider the lilies. So tonight, let's look at this together. Look what Jesus said in verse number 25. The Bible says, now, before we get to what the Bible says, this prescription needs to have a warning on it. You know how often King Jesus gets all up in our business in the Sermon on the Mount? here's the warning label. This is one of those times. All right? So, let's look at this. Verse 25, the Bible says, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for what your for your body and what ye shall put on. Is not the life, look what he says, it's not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment. Let me start off tonight by addressing this thought, the truth about our godless worry. The truth about our godless worry. Now, we have to understand that there are different types of worry, different types of cares that we face in this life. That word thought there, when Jesus says take no thought, it refers to a worry, a care, a concern, or an anxiety. Now, Christian, understand tonight that there is a kind of concern, a kind of care that is good and should be in our life. It is right to be concerned, to have great care for those things that God is concerned about. Can I tell you, number one, you should be concerned and have great care in regards to your relationship with God. To know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again, that your sins are forgiven. The Bible admonishes to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. You know, God places a great emphasis on that. God cared enough to die on the cross. I'm going to tell you, you and I ought to have enough care that we know that our sins are forgiven. We ought to have care and concern in our heart and life that we are doing His will, that we are giving Him our best. We ought to have care and concern in our life that we not let sin build a stronghold, that we not let sin set up shop. That as Ephesians says, that we don't give place to the devil. That is another epistle reminds us that we not let bitterness and other things take root within us. Sin ought to be a care and concern of our heart and life. Evangelism, seeing the lost come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as well, ought to be a care and concern of our life. What does the psalmist say? They that bear go and they sow precious seed, weeping shall doubtless come again. That weeping, it shows that care and that burden that they have for those that are lost without Christ. You know, as we look at the Word of God and we look at the example of the Son of God, God has given us instruction and influence and an absence of concern in our lives regarding the instruction of God is wrong. Is wrong. There is a care and a concern that we ought to bear in our lives. You know, I think one of the great examples of this, Paul gives a number of illustrations about the Christian life. The one that he comes up very often is the one of a runner or a racer. And so we look at, for instance, a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul begins to talk about this, and verse number 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race, race all, but one receiveth the prize? He looks at the believers there, he says, so run that ye may obtain. Look what he continues to say there, verse number 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Look what he says. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached unto others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified for a reward. You see, the burden Paul represents, he uses a professional or even like an Olympic athlete, and they have a great concern that they bear, that they train their body to the best of their ability, and that they build up their physical body to the best of their ability, that they, when they set foot on that track in those games, that they are prepared to do their very, very best for the sake of their King. And so Paul likens us to Christians, likens that to the Christian life, that we would so run that we might obtain. In other words, Paul says, you know what? There is a care and concern that I have that as I run this race of life, that I do my very best for my King. Paul says, I'm not looking for a participation trophy in heaven. He says, I'm looking to run to win. I'm going to tell you what, there is a care and concern that a professional or Olympic athlete bears. Everything they do has purpose and builds to a point. And there is a right care and concern for you and I to bear and carry in our lives. The Christian life is illustrated by sports competitions, by warfare, by racing, by a boxing match, by farming, by a student who is studying and preparing. I'm going to tell you what, every illustration that we get in Scripture is not an illustration of a carefree life with no worries. And so you got to understand tonight as we start, when we're talking about worry and anxiety, we're not talking about a life with no cares. It's not skipping down the yellow brick road. It's not finding anything and everything we could ever want. No, there is a care and a concern, a burden that we should bear for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these occupations live lives of care and concern. And this is good and right. But when I lay awake at night worrying, it's rarely about my Bible reading schedule. It's rarely about how many gospel tracts I did or didn't pass out. Because there is a kind of worry that is wrong. Jesus is beginning to teach us that we err when we worry about things that don't really matter. Or things that don't belong to us. And when we engage in this kind of worry, when we carry this kind of care and concern and burden, this results not in responsible living, but in doubting God, in murmuring hearts, and in focusing on a world instead of on worship. So I think it's important that we understand the types of worry, because we're going to focus in on this latter one tonight. The one that is wrong for us, sinful for us to bear. Because let me tell you what the trouble with worry is. You look at verse number 25 again and you see what Jesus says here. The verse begins with the word therefore. Now, we as students of the Bible understand that as we read the Scripture, when we see a word like therefore or wherefore, what do we need to do? We need to go back a couple verses. We need to go back in the context to find out what the therefore is therefore. And you'll be reminded that he's talking about these very things that we have been over the last couple of weeks. Namely, that we need to choose what treasure we're going to seek. That we need to choose how we're going to look on life. We need to choose who our Lord is going to be. Jesus has been reminding us that a divided life or a divided focus results in a paralyzed life full of danger and doubt. Now here's how he brings it all together. When Jesus says, take no thought, it's an idiom, an expression that literally has the idea of don't be pulled in different directions. Don't be pulled in different directions. I want you to think about that with me. I want you to think about that image of being pulled. You know what you recognize when you stop and think about it? That worry, anxiety, care, and concern of the wrong kind. Do you know what it does? It literally pulls us apart from the inside out. How many would say when I spend much time in worrying, concern, when I let anxiety rule my life, that makes me a more productive person? How many would say when I let worry take a leading role, that makes me a better husband, wife, or parent? When I let worry take a leading role, that makes me a better servant for my master, Jesus Christ. No, what happens is worry and anxiety literally pull us apart. And the trouble with worry, the trouble with anxiety, is that we can't focus on what we need to, and we can't focus on who we need to be, and we can't really focus on who we need to please, because we are getting pulled apart from the inside out. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth about godless worry. And Jesus says, take no thought. So we've seen the truth about godless worry. Let me bring another thought to light here. The truth about our general weakness. The truth about our general weakness. Look at verse 27. Jesus gives a very, very striking illustration. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, Jesus, the Son of God, he looks on the crowd there. He says, how many of you, by thinking about it, can grow yourself? How many, just by willing it to be so, can grow? Well, I mean, I'm finding the older I get, I can unintentionally grow in undesirable directions, but that's a different struggle. The truth about our general weakness here, Jesus gives an illustration of the illusion of control. You and I cannot add any height to our stature. You know, the story was told when I was growing up of the great basketball player Michael Jordan and how he desired to be an athlete and desired to be big and strong, and how as an elementary school student, he hung from the monkey bars on the playground and hung and hung and hung and just wanted to be stretched out longer. And then he grew up to be, you know, please. Whether he did it or not, I don't know. But it didn't make him grow none, I can guarantee you that. Because none of us can will ourselves to grow. Now, luckily for me, I have the joy of being in the position where I can pick on doesn't sound godly, where I can encourage those, admonish those who maybe wish they could force themselves to grow. I was talking with a church family a couple weeks ago. It was a touching moment between father and son. The son ran and jumped in his father's arms, and he said, whoa! He said, man, you're going to make mama sad when you get a little bit bigger. I chimed in, if he's anything like his daddy, he's only going to get a little bit bigger. It's my job to edify, right? You know, the reality is, and Jesus was pointing it out here, that we have very little control over our lives. One of my favorite illustrations of this is a man by the name of James F. Fix. James Fix was the man who spurred the jogging craze of the 80s, the 70s and the 80s. And he was the one best-selling books and speaking tours. And if you only live a more active life, you'll live a longer life and a healthier life. And man, he was on the top of the world leading a movement until the ripe old age of 52 when he died, ironically, of a heart attack on a jog. We have very little actual control over our lives. You know, your complete control over aspects of your health, your finances, your family, and your safety is an illusion that instead of leaving us amazed, leaves us anxious and worried. The illusion of our control reminds us of the irrationality of our concern. In other words, it makes no sense to get all worked up over that which we cannot control. Now, again, an admonition, there are some things that are in your control. If you're worried about your health, don't eat a Baconator every night for supper. I mean, there are things that we can do. Amen? Amen? Okay. Again, there is a good kind of care that we ought to bear. But it makes no sense to get all worked up over that which we cannot control. Had an awesome illustration of this in my life recently. Friday night I came home and there was a package on my porch. This would have been January 29th. Package on my porch. What could this be? So we brought it inside and we waited till after supper. It was addressed to all of us, so we opened it. And I was very confused because when we opened it on January 29th, there was a Christmas card in it. And that prompted me. I need to look at the postage date. It was mailed about 20 miles from my house on December 22nd. Priority mail. And it took 39 days. It's easy in life, isn't it? To get frustrated by things that are out of your control. But why would we? We can't do anything about it. You know, one of the things that frustrates me, you know, we live in our world today, our society today, is not the society of the conversation. It is the society of the comment. And nobody seems to care what the content actually is. Everybody just wants to get their comment down and for their comment to be heard. And sometimes the comments people have to say aren't very nice. And sometimes the comments that people have to say seek to do a whole lot of damage. And sometimes I see these things and it grieves me inside. And I'm frustrated and I'm worried about the ramifications down the road. But why? Why? Because it makes no sense for us to bear the burden. It makes no sense for Alan Holmes to bear the burden for that which he cannot control. This is a good one. How much of our worry and anxiety come from things that don't even exist? Anybody else play the what if game? Anybody else play the what if game? How much worry, how much anxiety, how much loss of sleep is caused by things that don't even exist? How much of our worry and frustration, how much of our concern, here's another one, come from things that just don't matter. I mean, they don't matter. Like 5 years from now, whether it happens or not, it doesn't matter. Probably it won't matter 5 hours from now. But we give it such power. We fill our lives. We are worried filled by aspects of life that we cannot control or by circumstances that do not even exist. Now, step back for a second. Because it's not like we can just ignore all of those things, right? How many of you have ever played the what if game and you didn't want to play the what if game? The what if game decided you were going to play. You ever been there? And so it's not like I can just say, what if game, I rebuke you and turn over and go back to sleep. No, you've been drafted into this game. So it's not like we can just ignore these things. And let's be honest, the weight and the pressure they exert can be immense, inescapable, and inescapable. So it's not that we just ignore these things, but what it is that it's that we need to know what to do with them when they do come. And so I want you to see this. We have seen, number one, the truth about our godless worry. We've seen, number two, the truth about our general weakness. I want you to see, and here's the answer. Here's Jesus' prescription. The truth about our God's work. Look with me at verse 26 and then verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, behold. Verse 25, don't get pulled apart. Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil, and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Consider with me tonight the truth about God's work. I want you to see as we consider the birds and consider the lilies, I want you to see the care of the Creator. You see God's faithfulness? Can you see God's faithfulness? All of creation is beautifully cared for. Now, consider the birds with me. I looked it up. All right? I looked it up. As far as I know, I got it off the internet, so I know it's true, okay? According to the internet, there are 400 billion birds in the world. 400 billion. For point of reference, there are 7.6 billion human beings. 400 billion birds. 18,000 plus species that live in a variety of habitats and need a variety of dietary needs. You think of the sweet little hummingbird that just wants to slurp up nectar. You think of the birds who want to peck at the seeds that you sprinkle out in your yard. You think of the buzzards that want to gorge themselves on dead animals. Birds can be very different, can they not? And yet, consider the care of the Creator. In all seriousness, God provides for the needs of 400 billion birds every day. I don't think the richest man in the world could do it for 1 week. Now, Amazon would do it way better than the Postal Service. We've already established that. But I don't think the richest man in the world could care for the daily needs of birds, 400 billion birds, for 1 week. And yet what the richest, most well-connected man couldn't do for 1 week, God Almighty has been doing for thousands of years and has never once failed. Consider the birds. Consider the birds. When is the last time you saw a bird worried? When is the last time you saw, I mean, other than when it was chased by one of those ungodly cats, okay? That's a different kind of worry, that's okay. But when is the last time you have seen a bird worried about where its next meal is going to come from? Consider the birds. We can't always escape the cares of this world. But ladies and gentlemen, we would do well to know where to take them and what to do with them. And Jesus says for us tonight, he says, consider the birds. They don't toil, they don't sow, they don't have pantries full of food, and yet Heavenly Father takes care of them. All 400 billion of them every single day. You know, these birds often migrate hundreds or even thousands of miles. Do you know what they don't do? They don't pull out their iPhones and map out the rest stops. And I wonder if the gas station is going to be open because of COVID. Do we need to bring one or two coolers full of food? How are we going to make this trip? No, they just, it's time, so they go. And God takes care of their needs. All 400 billion of them every single day. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? God does that for them. Verse number 27, he says, are you not much better than a bird? You are better than a bird, okay? I can confirm that tonight. Consider God's faithfulness. Consider creation's freedom. The lilies, Jesus points to. They don't worry. They just glory in the beauty that God has robed them in. Now, I wake up just about every day asking, does this match? Brown or black? Occasionally, I have been known to say, honey, I don't even want to start thinking about it today. You pick it out. That's usually when it goes best for me. But the lilies don't worry. The lilies don't worry. They just glory in all that God has provided. Consider the lilies. Consider the birds. I'm going to tell you, as you meditate on that tonight, you hear the birds singing. You see the birds chirping and you see their freedom and you see their peace. You consider the lilies and the beauty that they have, and they don't toil and they don't worry. And yet they are arrayed more beautifully than Solomon was in all his glory. As I consider creation, doesn't your heart long for that freedom? Doesn't your heart long for that peace? And so Jesus calls us to contentment. I'm going to tell you, church, the big news tonight is you are better than a bird. The big news tonight is you are better than a flower. You are the child of God. You are the son or the daughter of the Most High King. And God's children, while God takes care of His creation, God's children are a special priority to the Father. The psalmist said in Psalm 103 in verse number 13, he said this, that God knoweth our, well, let me get that up there, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He looks after us. He knows us. Like Jesus said in Matthew 7 in verse number 11. He said this. He said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask Him? God's children are a special priority. You are better than a bird. Can you say it with me tonight? I am better than a bird. Say it with me. I am better than a bird. I tell you, it'll do us well sometimes. One of our church members here actually years ago brought me a little bird. He sits on my shelf in my office for that very purpose. That when I start to get overwhelmed by things that are out of my control, that I look up and see that little thing and realize, you know what? I'm better than a bird. And if God takes care of them every day, and He does, God's going to take care of me. God's children are a special priority. Let me give you another glorious truth tonight. God's provision is always the best. The King's provision is always the best. The psalmist wrote it again in Psalm 84 and verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hey, I'm better than a bird. Amen. But here it is. There is only realization of the fullness of His blessing. You and I can only truly appreciate and realize the fullness of His blessing when He receives the fullness of my trust. We can't have it any other way. You see, you can't have the product without the process. You and I'm better than a bird. God, I, as the child of God, I have a special priority in the eyes and heart of God. As the child of God, God's provision for me is always only the best. I am better than a bird. I should have named it, I am better than a bird. Should have gone with that. I'm better than a bird. But I'm only going to receive the fullness of His blessing when He receives the fullness of my trust. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Notice what it says, be careful. That word careful, it doesn't mean cautious. It means anxious. It means worried. It means burdened. It says, be anxious, be worried for, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And when God gets the fullness of our trust, look what happens. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep, shall guard, shall camp around your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You see, when He gets my trust, I get His peace. A peace that this world does not know. A peace that this world cannot overcome. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people and many Christians exerting so much effort, losing so much sleep on things that just don't belong to them. And Christian, tonight I want to admonish us from the Scripture. It's not that you're not trying. It's just that it doesn't belong to you. And so all the effort that you're making isn't making any progress. It's like running on a treadmill. I hate it more than anything. You run and you run and you run and you sweat and you run and you run and you run and you run and you never make it past the stupid coffee table. But that's how some of us feel. It's not for a lack of effort. It's not for a lack of trying. I'm going to tell you, there is a lot of pressure and stress in this life. There is a lot of pressure in this world. Pressure to be a certain thing and to look a certain way and to attain a certain level. There is a lot of pressure that every time we step out, we've got to have it all together. There is much that demands our care and concern. But tonight, King Jesus, He comes and He offers His prescription for worry. He offers His prescription for anxiety and those burdened down with care. He says, stop. Consider the birds. Consider the birds. They don't toil. They don't sow or reap. They don't have barns full of food. And yet God takes care of all 400 billion of them every single day. King Jesus says, stop. Consider the lilies. And as we consider the birds and we consider the lilies, we're drawn to one conclusion. He's not failed them. And He'll not fail me.